It's time for a Blues Report with Joey Vitale.
You automatically look 15% tougher if you have a beard.
Brought to you by The Electrical Connection.
Orange and green in the shape of carrots.
When you need quality electrical work for your home or business, visit electricalconnection.org.
This is silky smooth.
Let's go, Blues! Let's go, Blues! Let's go, Blues! Let's go, Blues!
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Chris Ronji and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Stalter. Let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined now by Joey Vitale of the Blues Radio Network. Joey, Chris Thorburn, he retired. Give us a story about Chris that you always liked to share.
Oh, hey, I tell you what, one of the greatest human beings, I don't know if I was this on this show last week with you guys talking about it, maybe some other one, but I've always been so amazed by how those enforcers are like the most intense warriors on the ice. For some reason, I've always found it this way. They are the most gentlest giants off the ice. I'm talking Steve McIntyre, thinking players. We're talking about here, Chris Thorburn. I mean, just a tremendous human being. He's kind, he's gentle, but as soon as he straps it on, he just, it's all about his teammates and it's all about supporting those guys. So for Chris, when I got the job 2 years ago, I remember he was sent down. He was one of the guys, again, 800 games as a fighter, which is incredible at the time. He gets sent down to the minors a month into my job, and I know that feeling. It's a horrible feeling. You know, the beginning is close, excuse me, the end is close. And I remember he gets called back up about 2 months later for some reason. And I remember talking to him, and I just expected him, I guess, to be bitter. I mean, it's a bitter situation, young guys coming in, taking your job. And I sat with him in the stall, and it was one of the most enlightening 20-minute conversations of my life. He was talking about going down the minors and being a mentor to young guys. And just, he has such a gentle disposition about him and just a true professional. He gets it from all angles. He knows he's just a small piece of this entire puzzle, and he's all about just giving himself. You know, this game is full of givers and takers, and Chris Thorburn has always just been a giver, 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 and a true friend and an incredible player. I wish him nothing but the best.
Joey, a couple of years back, I watched that, and I'm sure you've seen it, that documentary, The Ice Guardians. And you had guys talking about they wake up in the morning and just knowing that that was their day. Like, you know exactly what you're getting into. Like, I might have known on a given day, Joey, that I was going to wake up and there was a chance that maybe things weren't going to go great, but they knew exactly what it was going to look like. I was going to have to go fight the biggest guy on the ice. I couldn't imagine waking up like that every day, knowing that that was your living and that was, like, how you had to make your contribution.
Well, and it really is sad because if you think about that documentary in particular, BT, you know, that's where they talked a lot about alcohol and drugs. And the worst part about these guys' lives is there was no way for them to settle their minds down and settle their bodies down to get any sleep. And this is why a lot of these players, of course, I'm not speaking about Chris here. I'm talking in general about these enforcers. It's been a typical problem that they can't actually fall asleep because of the nerves and the anxiety moving in to the next game. Listen, if I'm having to go to Philadelphia tomorrow night and fight Jody Shelley, an absolute monster of a man, I'm going to lose sleep over it. And not to mention, guys, we're not talking about a schoolyard fight, but that would make someone lose sleep as it is. If you ask any high schooler, or sixth grader, or seventh grader, hey, you got to fight the biggest bully in front of the entire school tomorrow, I guarantee you that kid's going to lose sleep. These guys not only did that, they're doing it in front of 18,000 people. They're doing it in front of millions of people watching. And not to mention, guys, YouTube. I mean, all their fights, every fight you're in now, it's highlighted on YouTube and it's not going anywhere. So I think that the pressure, not only to fight, but the pressure to do good and not get knocked out and to keep your job as the enforcer. I mean, it's incredible. I know people talk a lot about, you know, Tarasenko, the pressure he has, or Sidney Crosby or Connor McDavid. And certainly there's a lot of pressure there. But I've dealt with a few incidences where I knew I had a fight that one night. And I'm telling you guys, it's not a place that you want to be very often. And like I said, hats off to Chris Thorburn for not only doing that, but guys, he did it for 800-plus games in the National Hockey League. I mean, an 800-game career for any player is tremendous. But to do 800-plus games like he did, knowing he has to fight and knowing he's got to play physical and be a protector, and you never know who he's going up against. I mean, that is a physical grind, yes, but it is a mental and emotional wear and tear on someone. And you can see why he's done it for so long, because he's just got such a good attitude. He's got a good disposition to withstand what was to come.
You know, it makes me think of older players in general right now, and guys who are maybe not with a team, but are, and they're on the fringe, and they're wondering about what their future is going to be in the league, and how much this situation is affecting what they decide to do moving forward. Like, how many guys do you think are really affected by it in that way, where they're thinking, you know, maybe I'll just call it quits. Like, maybe this is just going to be it for me. Do you think there are a lot of players that are struggling with that right now?
You know, Roger, I think that's a good question. And, you know, one name certainly comes to mind, a gentleman out in San Jose, and Joe Thornton, who looked to get traded at the end, or at least at the deadline this past year. He wants to win a cup. He was vocal about it. Not sure what ownership did or didn't do as far as trying to get him moved, but he ended up staying in San Jose, and now they're out of a playoff spot, so he's essentially done this year. Now, he's UFA. He's up this year. But, of course, if I'm Joe Thornton, I'm a player like that. There are players out there that they don't know if this they had played their last game. And that makes me kind of sad for these players in the sense that they've almost left the game by a season or, you know, career-ending injury where they couldn't say their goodbyes. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Where,
yeah.
You know, instead of, like, knowing that, like, Joe Thornton knew that he didn't get traded this year. Now, if he was playing on this being his last year, he knew he had 7-8 games left. And he wanted to go out a certain way. But, you know, in this case, maybe not. So I certainly think about those players. But Joe Thornton certainly up there is one of those guys that you look at the state of the game and you look at where we're going to be at in December, January. What if everything gets pushed back? I mean, Joe Thornton is no spring chick anymore. A lot of these older guys, they've been sitting on their bus for 4 months. And then they're going to be sitting on their bus for another 6 months on top of that. We're talking almost a whole year. And, you know, I was talking to Alexander Steen a couple weeks ago about this. And, you know, Steen is 36. He's been moving his body just fine, but he told me, he's like, I'm 36. I'm not like I'm 26 anymore. I got to do things on a daily basis to get my body, my mind up and running more so than let's take a Sammy Blay, for example. So the age, it wears on you. And certainly these players are going to be going through that situation itself.
Joey Vitale joining us right now in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Joey, as we look at what's currently going on in hockey right now, according to ESPN.com, NHL hub choices are down to just six cities. Vegas, Chicago, LA, Edmonton, Toronto, and Vancouver have made it the cut so far. Pittsburgh, Dallas eliminated today. Columbus was scratched off the list yesterday. Of the two hub cities, do you foresee it being one in Vegas and then one in the Canadian cities?
You know, guys, I've looked a lot about this. I've talked to a few different players around the league as well. From a safety standpoint, if we're talking safety here, I mean, you cannot look past Edmonton and Vancouver. I mean, simply because they're in areas where they're not hotbeds, they're in areas where they're not growing. I know numbers have kind of risen a bit in Vegas, so that's a concern. But if we're talking simply safety, you can't look past Vancouver and Edmonton. It seems to be the sure bet. Now, why wouldn't it fall that way? Especially because the league can save a lot of money by going to some Canadian cities. Well, the problem is it's a negotiation, as we all know. And the players are going to have to agree on these cities, and a player, of course, is going to be a little bit more excited about spending 2 months in quarantine in Las Vegas, where their families at least enjoy some good weather and possibly they can get out a little bit. I'm not sure the details on that exactly, but Vegas seems a little bit more intriguing than Edmonton. So that seems to be the big thing. I think Edmonton, it seems to be a lock. It seems to be a shoe-in. They got this new JW Marriott up there is connected to the rink, amazing facility. And they've also said that after we get past this first round, every single player and every single staff member of the hub cities and hub teams can stay in that JW Marriott that's connected to the rink. So that's an exciting thing for Edmonton. I think they will get one city. I know everyone's talking about Vegas. To me, guys, from what I've heard, what I've learned, what I'm seeing and hearing, it's definitely up there. But I wouldn't be surprised if Vancouver maybe nudges them, or let's say a Chicago or L.A., and we're talking about three consecutive games in one same day. It's going to take a lot of technology. It's going to take a lot of staff. All these sports and TV organizations need a lot of people to do that. So you got to go to big cities to find that, too. So with that being said, yeah, I think Edmonton definitely is going to be one. But I wouldn't be too sure about Vegas just yet. I know Vancouver's knocking on the door.
Joey, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, boys. Have a great week.